15. And when one of them that sat at meat with him heard these things, he said unto him, Blessed is he that shall eat bread in the kingdom of God. Then said he unto him, A certain man made a great supper and bade many, and sent his servant at supper time to say to them that were bidden, Come, for all things are now ready. And they all with one consent began to make excuse. The first said unto him, I've bought a piece of ground, and I must needs go and see it. I pray thee have me excused. And another said, I have bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I go to prove them. I pray thee have me excused. And another said, I have married a wife, and therefore I cannot come. So that servant came and showed his lord these things. Then the master of the house, being angry, said to his servant, Go out quickly into the streets, lanes of the city. Bring in here the poor and the maimed and the halt and the blind. And the servant said, Lord, it is done as thou hast commanded, yet there is room. And the Lord said unto the servant, Go out into the highways and hedges and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled. For I say unto you, that none of those men which were bidden shall taste of my supper. This is called the Great Supper. The Great Supper. Now remember, this chapter opened with our Lord Jesus sitting eating supper on the Sabbath day with a Pharisee. And a whole house full of people are there, lawyers and scribes. And they're watching him whether he's going to heal a man on the Sabbath day. And he gave already the parable about how that you don't exalt yourself. And if a man does, he'll be humbled. And the humble shall be exalted. And then he talked about the resurrection there in verse 14. That you'll be blessed if you call them to the feast. Make a feast. Call the poor, the maimed, the lame, and the blind. And you'll be blessed. Because they can't do anything for you. And you'll be recompensed at the resurrection of the just. And then, one of them that's in this Pharisee's house, one of them that's sitting there at supper with him, at meat with him, heard him say these things. And he said unto him, Blessed is he that shall eat bread in the kingdom of God. Now this man, sitting there with all these other people, these influential people, powerful people, uppity-up people that's in this particular town, the Jews believed that when the Messiah came and to set up the kingdom of God on the earth, that there would be a great, great, great feast and all the Jews would get to eat. And then the ones that was really privileged, they would get to eat with the Messiah. And that's what he meant, blessed is he that shall eat bread in the kingdom of God. And so that's what they think. And he thinks he was going to be one of the privileged ones. Well, our Lord answers him and everyone sitting there as to what to expect and what's not going to happen. And he gave the answer to the Pharisees, the scribes, and the lawyer. And first he said this, Then said he unto him, A certain man made a great supper and bade many. A great supper. A certain man. This certain man, of course, is God Almighty Himself. It's the Father. He's the one who made the great supper. He's the one, and the supper is the gospel. The supper, God made the feast. God made the great supper. And then He tells us in the gospel what is in that supper. And so this gospel, this great supper, is the provision God had prepared for His people and for sinners in the gospel in His Word. You know, He prepared a great supper, made a great supper. And oh my, in this gospel, in this supper, we set forth when we preach the gospel, justification, pardon. God's gave all this in this supper. And that supper is the gospel. This supper is what God has provided for us, set the table for us.
Amen.
The supper's made. The table's set. We don't have to set no tables. We don't have to cook no meals. We don't have to do anything at all. We don't have to clean up the table when the meal is done. The supper is made. And in this gospel, in His Word, and He has prepared this great supper and this justification. Oh, that's we on justification, on pardon and forgiveness of sin. Righteousness provided. Sanctification provided.
Amen.
Cleansing from sin provided. A new heart provided. A new spirit provided. Peace with God provided. Grace for us while we're in the way. And then glory when we get to the end of the way. And you know the thing is always to the Jews first. In the Scriptures, the Jews received the gospel first. Christ came to His own, and His own received Him not. And He's talking about when He says, and He bade many, these are the Jews. These are the Jews. And He bade many. Not just a few, bade many. They were, and oh my, they had been bidden for generations, and for centuries they had been bidden to this supper. And then it says here, He sent His servant. What service is He talking about? He's talking about preachers and apostles. He's talking about the prophets and all the promises that were made. And watch what He says now. He sent His servant at supper time. And you know there's an old song that people say, supper time, children come home, it's supper time. Well, I guess that's where they got this at. But He says, He sent His servant at supper time to say them that were bidden, come. Come. Now watch this. Now God could have just as easily said, submit, not come. Bow down, not come. He could have just as easily said that. But He says, come. Oh, what a glorious thing, come. He didn't say who couldn't come. He said, come.
That's right.
Oh, what a wide door is here set before us. Now watch this. For all things are now ready. Oh, you know, everything's now ready. Everything that's ready for a sinner to be saved is ready. Everything necessary, every spiritual need, everything that a soul needs for time and eternity is now ready in Christ. It's ready. He'd been saying the supper's coming. Ho, everyone that thirsteth, let him come and dine, eat without money and without price. And oh, He sets the table and He says, and all that's now ready. Oh, my soul, everything that we need is ready. It's there. It's for us now in Christ. God has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. What's your need? You need a substitute? God said, behold the Lamb. He's ready. God says, you need forgiveness? You need forgiveness? Be it known unto you, therefore, men and brethren, that through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness, and that by him you can be justified from all things from which you couldn't by the law of Moses. You need peace with God and peace of heart. He made peace through the blood of His cross. He is our peace. You need cleansing? The blood of God's Son cleanses us from all sin. You need light for your darkness? Christ said, I'm the light of the world. A man that walketh and followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Do you need bread? Our Lord Jesus says this. He said, I'm that true bread which came down from heaven. If a man eats this, eats my flesh and drinks my blood, he shall never die. Never die. You know, when they told Lazarus, when they come and told him Lazarus sick, said, he's just sleeping. He's just sleeping. And you know why he said that? Because a man that believes in Christ don't die. He just goes to sleep. He just goes to rest. His day's done. And sleep means don't, and his soul don't sleep. That means that he's done with his day's labor. He's resting. That's all it means. He's resting now forever with the Lord. That's why he said he's sleeping. And oh, that's what we'll do. We'll just go sleep on these days. Oh my, you need grace? God said, I'll be gracious. He gives grace to the weak. You need grace for the day? He'll give it to you. You need grace while you're going through this world? It's interesting. And then, boy, at the end of the way, such glory. And listen here, it's what's said, it's now ready. what I need to do. Just ready. I've already been told I could come. I've already been told I could come. For all things are now ready. What I got to do? I just got to come, sit down, and eat. Just come, sit down, and eat. But now look here what these people said here. They give three reasons for not coming. And I could, you know, I've told you what I think about these two fools and this henpecked husband, but there's three reasons for them not coming. Look what it says. And they said, go tell them that we're bidden. These people were bidden. They had a personal invitation. These Jews had an invitation. They saw their Messiah was coming. Their salvation would be provided. Redemption would be provided. A sacrifice would be provided. A priest would be, everything they needed would be provided when the Messiah comes. And so they were all bidden. And that's who he went to tell them. Now everything's ready. And this is exactly how they react. And this is the way the Jews react. And this is how most people in the world react. And they all with one consent, these that were bidden, these that had an invitation, all of them with one consent, they all had the same mind, they all had the same intent, they all had the same purpose is what that meant. Began to make excuse. Make excuse. Now watch this. Oh my. Now let me tell you something about this. None of these guests are kept away by things that in themselves are sinful. It's not sinful to own a piece of ground. It's not sinful to own a bunch of ox. It's not sinful to marry a wife. But you know what? They became sinful to them. You know why? Because they made them first. They said, This is my idol. This is my idol. I don't need that sucker. I'm not hungry. I don't need that invitation. I don't need God. I don't need grace. I don't need rice. I don't need forgiveness. I don't need cleansing. I'm not poor. I'm not maimed. I'm not halt. And I'm not blind. And oh, but they became sinful because the man put his wife first. And you know as well as I do, if that husband would have said, let's go over here, then we got a great supper that we've been invited to, she'd have just said, oh yes, let's go. And the thing is, and look here now, look what the first one done, and that's what our Lord said down in verse 26 here. Look at this real quick. And if any man come to me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children, brothers and sisters, yea, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. And that word hate, that's a strong word. And the first thing you do is you hate yourself. You'll turn on yourself. I got nothing to bring. I got nothing to offer. And oh, if you do that, you won't have no problem putting everything else where it's supposed to go. Now watch this. And whosoever doeth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. That means I'm going to die. I'm going to go to that cross every day and take my place with Christ. That's what it means. And oh, look at this first one. Look what he did. He had something else to see other than Christ. The first said unto him, I've bought a piece of ground and I must needs go and see it. He had something else he wanted to see besides Christ. Huh? I must needs go see it. Oh my. So I pray thee have me excused. Look what the second one did. He had something to do. Another's one had something to see, the other had something to do, and another said, I've bought 5 yoke of oxen and I go to prove them. I pray have thee be excused. He had, I must go and prove them. He had something else to do besides go to a feast. Would you rather go to a great supper with a great host with a glorious invitation or go look at a bunch of ox? And look at the third. This man found a better relationship than a relationship with Christ. And another said, I have married a wife. He didn't even make an excuse. He just said, I can't come. I'm not going to come. He didn't say, well, excuse me. He just said, I'm not going to come. Okay. He found a greater relationship, a more precious relationship than a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, let me tell you something about these men. All of these bargains were already, he'd already bought that piece of ground. So what kept him from going to that supper? The deal was done. And that fellow had already bought that 5 yoke of oxen. He'd closed that deal. That deal was done. What kept him from going? He could have looked at ox anytime. And this man that married this wife, you know as well as I do, they both would have just... But he didn't. I ain't coming. There's no real hurry to go see ground brought. No real hurry to prove the ox. The marriage is done. Why can't you come? I read some things about excuses today. Let me read them off to you. I would tell you the man's name, but I don't remember it. He said this: a bad excuse is worse than none. And all these were bad excuses. And excuses are not reasons. There is no reason for refusing this great supper. There's no reason for refusing the gospel. There's no reason for refusing Christ. There's excuses, but never a reason.
That's right.
And excuses are always bad. Always. And in the excuse of each one of these men, there was a lie. You know, in almost always, when a person makes an excuse, there's a lie in that excuse. First, they got to lie to themselves, and then they got to call up the person they're putting off and excuse and lie to them. Huh? Nearly always, there's a lie in the excuse. All these fellas were lying. They just making excuses. He did not have to go prove that, see that ground. He did not have to go prove those oxen. And that man could come even though he had married a wife. So all those excuses was full of lies. Most people, when they make an excuse, are they not telling a lie? Now, a reason's a different thing. A reason is a different thing. A reason is something that's come up. A reason is something that's real. A reason is something that is beyond your control. And you say, this is why I cannot come. This is why I cannot come. You can always give a reason without telling a lie. But when you have an excuse, 99 out of 100 times, you'll have to manufacture it. Make it up. Now, ain't that right? I know that stuff to take. But I know for myself. And oh, do you think that their host, the man who made the great supper, was deceived by their excuses? Huh? Do you think there was? God, Paul said, God, be not deceived. God's not mocked.
That's right.
He's not mocked. Look over here in 1 Corinthians 7. Here's a commentary on this very situation right here that Paul made here in 1 Corinthians 7, verse 29. But this I say, brethren, the time is short. Oh, the time is short for all of us. If we all live to be 100, time is short.
Yes.
Methuselah lived to be 979 years. Oh, but I mean, that's a short time compared to eternity. It remaineth that both they that have wives be as though they had none. The time's coming when we're going to have to go out into eternity, and we ain't going to use our wives as excuse, and our wives ain't going to be able to use us as excuses. Like that young man did. And they that weep as though they wept not. God's going to dry every tear. And they that rejoice as though they rejoice not. I mean, rejoicing will change to great thing. They that buy as though they possess not. So everything, God's going to bring everything down here to where there's nothing but time. There's nothing but eternity facing us, and our weeping or rejoicing and our buying and possessing and our marriages and non-marriages and our wives and our husbands, it ain't going to amount to nothing when we face eternity.
That's right. Okay.
Now watch this. And they that use this world is not abusing it. Oh, time is short. And that's what these men were doing, abusing the world. Abusing their time, abusing everything God gave them for the fashion of this world. It's going to pass away, so don't abuse the world. And the world won't abuse you. And oh, and I'll tell you something, back over in our text. Do you know how old excuses are? You know who the first fellow who made an excuse? Adam. You know what the first thing he said? The woman you gave me. That's the first excuse made. So I mean, excuses is as old as Adam. He is the first one to make it. And man, and Adam's been making them ever since, the sons and daughters of Adam. Oh my. Well, look what happens now. Look what happens then. In verse 21, so that servant came and showed his master, showed his Lord these things. Time said, oh, well, this is what they all said. Watch this, then the master of the house got angry. He is angry. He is being angry. Oh, God's angry. He is angry with these people that have their excuses. He is angry with their worldliness. He is angry that they put him off. He was angry after he had made this great supper. I never will forget one time I was going up to Scott Richardson's, and Martha had made this big, wonderful supper, and I went somewhere else and didn't go over there to eat, and it hurt her feelings, and I would have never, if I didn't know, and I would have never done it for nothing. She fixed a big supper for me. And I apologized. I was so sorry. I felt so awful about it. And if somebody makes you a great supper, and oh, he was angry. I've made everything ready. I've made my son ready. I put my son on a cross. I made him bear sin. He's your great high priest, grace and mercy, and everything you need for time and eternity is in my son, and it's ready. All you've got to do is come. So he is angry. And he is angry at these Jews. He is angry at them. Oh, he cut them off and he cut them off. And they're still cut off. I don't care. I don't care how long they black hats they wear and curls they have hanging down their ears and how many prayer shawls they put on, how many synagogues they go to. They've been cut off as a nation.
All right.
And watch what happens. He said to his servant, go quickly. I mean, be in a hurry about it. Go in the streets. See, these folks, they had wealth and they had power. They didn't need nothing. Go out quickly to the streets and lanes of the city. Oh my, go into the places where people don't know where anybody's at. Not on Main Street. Don't go on Main Street. Don't go where the shops and the powerful are. And look who he says to bring in. Bring in here the poor. People who ain't got nothing. Poor of heart, poor of mind, poor of spirit. Poverty stricken. And the maimed. Those that's been hurt some bad. Their heart's maimed. Their mind's maimed. Their soul's maimed. Their memory's maimed. They've maimed themselves with sin. And the halt. Those who can't walk good. And they got a bad leg. It's the halt. They can't have to be carried about. And the blind. Get the blind. Bring them. Somebody have to bring them because the blind can't come, the halt can't walk.
Right.
Somebody got to bring them. And he says, you go get them. And oh my, look over here in Matthew 21 with me real quick. I want you to see something here. What our Lord said to these Pharisees. Matthew 21. Oh my. God, and this is to the gospel. This gospel goes out. And he goes out here and gets these Gentiles and the harlots and he goes and gets all the people that the Jews said, your master eating with publicans and sinners. That's what they accused him of. Look what he says here in Matthew 21:28. But what think ye? A certain man had two sons, and he came to the first and said, son, go to work in my vineyard. He answered and said, I will not. But afterward he repented and went. And he came to the second and said, likewise, and he answered, said, I go, sir, and he didn't go. Whether the two did the will of his father, they say unto him the first. Jesus saith unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, that the publicans and the harlots go into the kingdom of God before you. For John came unto you in the way of righteousness, and you believed him not. But the publicans and the harlots believed him. And ye, when ye had seen it, repented not afterwards, that ye might believe. And that's who he's going out there to get. He's going out to get sinners. Sinners. And then look what he says back over here in our text. In verse 22. I love this right here. In Luke 14, 22. And the servant said, Lord, it's done. And watch what else he says. Not only is it done, but it's done just like you commanded for it to be done. Oh, the invitation to stop now. He's giving commands. This is the kind of people I'm going to bring to my feet. That command. You commanded me to go get them. I brought them. Here they're here. Oh, it's done. It's done. Now watch this. And yet there is room. Grace, nothing can stand the vacuum. Nature can't stand the vacuum. Grace can't stand the vacuum. And oh, he said, and yet there's room. Now we're going to go into the future. We're going to go into the Gentiles now. God's going to call the Gentiles. And look what he says. Go out into the highways and hedges. Go out into the out-of-the-way places, the highways, way on out of town. Go into those hedges and those places where they can't get out and they're hedged in. Watch this. And compel them to come in. That word compel means to strive. It means to constrain them, to strive, to bring them in. And you know that when it says... And compel, it means it's just like when we're preaching the gospel. We by force and argument, and we constrain, we strive to tell you of what Christ is and come to Him, embrace Him, know Him, bow to Him, and love Him, and worship Him, and take your yoke on Him. His yoke upon yourself. And that's what compelling does. And that's what the angels did to Lot. When Lot was down there in Sodom, and they come in and told him, say, come out, God's going to destroy this place. And then finally it says they took them by the hand and led them out. And that's what this is, that God, through the preaching of the gospel, He comes and gets us by the hand. He leads. And guess what? You won't know it till you're already brought. Watch what happens now. And I love this. Absolutely love that. I've never had preached from this before. And compel them to come in. Now watch it. That my house may be filled. Oh, bless His name. Filled? Oh, God's going to have a full house in glory. Oh, just a few here tonight, but this ain't nothing to what God's got. This ain't nothing compared to who else He's going to get. His house is going to be filled. And oh, that's what the angels said when they saw that. They saw 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands and thousands and a multitude that no man could number. And oh my. And guess who it'll be filled with? Poor. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Huh? And the halt, those of us that couldn't walk, He had to bring us. Blind, maimed by the fall. Oh my, it'll be filled with those who had need. The Pharisees, the lawyers, and the scribes, and the self-righteous don't have a need. Look over here in John 7:48, and I'll be done. Just in a moment. John 7:48. You know, that's what Paul says. You know, said, I bear record to Israel. Oh, my heart's desire for Israel that they might be saved. For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God. But it's not according to knowledge. How come, Paul? Because they're going about to establish their own righteousness. Instead of receiving a righteousness, they establish it. Instead of bowing to a righteousness, they want to make their own. And oh, look what it says here in John 7:48. Have any of the rulers or of the Pharisees believed on Him? No. No, they didn't. But I tell you who did. Those He went out and brought in. It all, listen, from a great supper to a great loss. Look down here now in verse 24. Oh, my house may be filled. God's going to fill His house. He's going to get all of His people. The sheep coat, He said, you know, that sheepfold's going to be full. And then He says, for I say unto you. Now this is what's awful. That none of those men was forbidden. They were bidden. They were invited. They were bidden. Come. That rich man, that man with his ox, that man with his land, that man with his wife, and all these Pharisees that said, oh, is any of the rulers believed on him? But I say unto you that none of those men which were bidden, watch this, shall taste of my supper. When were they bidden? Well, they was bidden from Genesis 3:15 when God said the seed of the woman shall crush the head of the seed of the serpent. They were bidden from Genesis 3:15 to Malachi chapter 4 when it says that, behold, the servant of the angel of the Lord shall come suddenly, the angel of the covenant shall come suddenly to his temple, and the Son of Righteousness shall arise with healing in his wings. They were bidden through Abraham. There's bidden through every prophet. There's bidden through Moses. There's bidden through everything. That old Bible, that Old Testament, was over and over and ago. They were bidden. And our Lord says, now, they ain't going to get to taste none of it. None of it. Huh? And oh my, John came bearing witness of that light. They were bidden when John came. He bore witness of that lamb. They were bidden when that was happening. And none shall taste of my supper. Look what our Lord said here in Luke 13:25. When once the master of the house has risen up and has shut to the door, and you begin to stand without and to knock at the door, saying, Lord, Lord, open unto us. And He shall answer, saying to you, I know you not, whence you are. Who are you from? How do you get? Then shall you begin to say, we have eaten and drunk in thy presence, and thou hast taught in our streets. But He shall say, I tell you, I know you not whence you are. Depart from me, all you workers of iniquity. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth when you shall see Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and all the prophets in the kingdom of God. Now watch this. And you yourselves thrust out. A man in his 70s the other day told me, he said, I want to know Christ. I don't want to be fooled. I don't want to be deceived. I don't want to be going to that place where I'm weeping and where I don't want to be gnashing my teeth. I don't want to be in misery. I want to know that I know Christ. I've got to have Him, he said. 70-something years old. I've got to have Him too. I don't want to hear Him say, depart from me. He said, come. I've come. He said, it's ready. It has to be ready for me because I sure can't do nothing about it. Don't you?
That's right.
And I had to be compelled to come in. I didn't just jump up when I heard Him come running. No, He had to compel me to come. He had to compel me to come. Our Father, oh gracious God, thank You for Your Word. Thank You for Your grace. Thank You for the precious, precious gospel that's ready. Everything is ready. The table's set. Grace and mercy. Righteousness and peace. Justification and sanctification. Eternal life. Peace and pardon. Strength and righteousness and truth. Oh God, thank You. Light, love, mercy. Oh, thank You for it. For this great and glorious supper You made for us. And thank You for bringing us, compelling us to come, and allowing us to eat. of the table prepared for our Lord Jesus and what you provided for us in Him. Thank you, Lord. Blessed be your name. Amen. Amen. All right.